Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the Channel. Sports in Depth is the show. And a little double-do. This concluded. It concluded part one, and Larry Hardesty came back as we bring you part two and the finale of Sports in Depth, the Sunday finale. And we open, as always, and every show with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for another day. We thank you for another Sunday. We thank you for life and the precious gift that it is. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, that allowed us the way to the tree of life. We thank you for little things we largely take for granted. And more importantly, Lord, your will, your way is first and foremost in our life, dear Lord. And we ask that your will always be the way. And we end this prayer with the prayer you taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. And although you may not be everybody's God, but you are God all by yourself. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, the end. We gave you, like a little opening, this concludes another, boom, that concluded part one. Hey, and we came back with Larry Hardesty, opening as always do with part two, as we wrap up the end of a big week. We did the show earlier, and today, as we also recorded live from FedEx Stadium, where it looked like that the Jets at one time were going to have Xerox themselves right out of the playoff picture and Xerox himself right out of the playoff hunt. But after a big victory today in Washington and then Cincinnati losing, it has changed the scope of the future for the Jets. And seeing that New England just kind of got by the Colts today, there is hope. There is hope. The Giants, there's hope too, but now everything is totally in their hands. They play the Dallas Cowboys next week. Lost to the world champion Green Bay Packers just when it seemed like they had tied the game up. Got a touchdown. Got a two-point play. And with 58 seconds left to go, too much time for an outstanding quarterback, and even more so for a great quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, took his team down the field, got 40 yards in the first two plays, and in 10 seconds, he had his team within field goal range. They ran the clock off, 38-35. The Green Bay Packers are 12-0, four wins away from an undefeated season. Look at their record. They got to play the Detroit Lions. They're playing also Chicago Bears. And I believe they have Oakland and Kansas City. So you can kind of see definite victories in the Kansas City and Detroit game. And, well, definitely, I think more so in the Kansas City and Oakland games. Detroit could be some resistance, and Chicago always plays them well, but they've already beaten Chicago. So right now, they're four wins away from an undefeated season. They're atop of their division, and right now they're the cream of the crop. They give up a lot of points, though. They give up a lot of points for a team, but it just seems like no matter how many points they give up, their offense gets enough to cover them. And that was the case today. Game was tied up, and bam, they came back and got the point. It just seems every week they're averaging 24 points a game. And once again, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to be unquestionably the MVP, and he may wind up being unanimous, which would be the second year in a row that you had an unanimous MVP. Last week, Tom Brady became the first ever unanimous winner of the award in the NFL. And I think right now it's no question that Aaron Rodgers got a chance to talk to him briefly in the locker room, asked him why he wore number 12, and he said it's just a number they always had in high school, you know, no particular reason. I should ask him about aisles and stuff, but he was rushing around. And as you know, I think the man who made number 12 so popular was none other than Joe Willie Namath. Roger Staubach also wore number 12. Kenny the Snake Stabler wore number 12. And a host of other quarterbacks wore number 12 in lieu of recognition of the great Joe Willie Namath, first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in a season, first ballot Hall of Fame in the Canton Hall of Fame, and the man who changed the scope of football in the AFL and guaranteed the Super Bowl win that the Jets provided over the Colts, which was the final nail or the propeller that brought about the merger between the NFL and the AFL. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Network, the show. It is a late night closer. Actually, we're closing one day, start another one. Tiger Woods! My goodness, yeah, Tiger Woods, one stroke winner in the Chavon World Challenge. Let me get the exact title of that because he won one stroke. Let me get that. Tiger Woods won the Chavon World Challenge, played some tremendous golf, and I saw some of that, and he just looked like Tiger again, and that's going to be bad news for the rest of the field, but it's also going to be great for his fans. And you could just feel the excitement, you could feel the people pulling for him, and all the support there. But we've got the crew here, Sea Wings, JETS Jets. You know, as we left you, they went into halftime. The Skins had taken the lead. Then it was 13-13 when we left. But then again, a big explosion erupted. And, dang, Sean Green, 88 yards, two touchdowns. Another touchdown pass to Santonio Holmes. They finally wound up with a really big scoring victory there, Sea Wings.
Well, and it really wasn't. It was close the first half. The Jets, once again, they started out in a slow manner. The team has mirrored the last couple of games that they played. They're not really running away with it in the first half, but Mark Sanchez and the team's defense, they seem to be big clutch second half players. But what scares me with that is they don't have the same team they had the last two seasons. How long is this going to basically hold up? They've been lucky. Let's look at it. They've been lucky with that.
See, between the last two teams previous years, was the team last year the better of the previous two teams?
It's better than this year, much better.
But you said the last 2 years, the two previous teams were better teams. Was the team last year better than the team the previous year before? It seemed the chemistry of last year's team.
Yeah, okay. Because first year they had to get used to each other, that cohesiveness, Mark Sanchez with the offense, trying to get into the New York Jets system, and he kind of tweaked it the second year. I mean, come look at it, he's thrown for over 8,000 yards in three years, as opposed to Rex Grossman, who's been in the league for 9 years and thrown over 9,000 yards. So Sanchez is poised to pass him. I mean, this guy's been in the league for 9 years and only over 9,000 yards. And you have a guy that's been in the league for 3 years and close to over 8,500 yards, 8,400 yards. I mean, who's the better quarterback?
No, and who also has the better winning percentage, and for nothing else, I mean, you can't take away from the fact that Sanchez has the record for the longest touchdown pass in a playoff game by a rookie quarterback, 80 yards, and that's the thing in the championship game, and he's taken the Jets win, lose, or draw, and it happened to be a loss in both cases, but he's taken them to the championship in games that could have been won and games that a lot of people should have won. What's the final score in that game out of Washington there, Big Sea Wings? Give us some stats on that game.
Well, Mark Sanchez was 19 for 165 yards. Rex Grossman, was 19 completions for 221 yards with a passer rating of 47 as opposed to Mark Sanchez for 83. Sean Green, he was still mediocre. He had 22 rushes for 88 yards, average about 3 to 4 yards per rush. And when I was in the game today watching Sean Green, it's like he's, I don't know if he's lost it or the thrive. It's just he was jumping around all over the place, making no effort to turn up the field. He did catch a couple of receptions for about 7-8 yards, a couple of passes like that. But his rushing is really mediocre at best. Mediocre. Yeah. I mean, you're in week 13, you only had about 700 yards, a little over 700 yards.
How much can we contribute that to the fact that, you know, they really didn't have a real long training camp and everything? Can that be, I mean, I understand everybody else is playing under the same conditions, but could that have something to do with the Sea Wings?
I can't contribute that to that. I mean, maybe with the conditioning, but now you're at week 13. You should be in football shape. As the great Deion Sanders say, it's the conditioning in the player.
But let me ask you something, Marcy. Wasn't he injured somewhat certain times, and he was on the sideline for a while until he got all, you know, his injuries? He may have become gun shy because he may still be feeling the effects of those injuries. No.
It's hard to call with Sean Green.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so hot and cold. I mean, when he played against Cincinnati in the wild card 2 years ago, he seemed to be very enthusiastic, but he's too hot and cold. You need a consistent run game.
Mm.
I mean, after he took that injury in Denver, I mean,
right.
he's getting up. When he takes a hit now, it's like he's scared to get hit when he rushes.
That's what I'm saying. He's become gun-shy.
Going back to that thing, LT got hurt today. Now, what's the story with LT? Is he out for...
He actually came back in
the second half.
He came back in. How did he look to you, though?
He did a rush. He rushed for a couple
of
yards.
Do you have his stats there for us for today?
For LT, he's one attempts for 5 yards, and that's about all he did as far as that goes. One pass for 16 yards. That was in the second half.
Okay.
Not the first half,
Look at the picture here. Dr. Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network. The show is a sports Sunday night final, early morning Monday. Okay, let's look at the picture here. Big game for the Jets. They win. They beat Washington. Cincinnati lost, and also we can look at the fact that even though New England won, I mean, the Colts were in the football game. Say what you want, and Larry says that New England always rounds off in the shape, but New England is so much like Green Bay in that their offense gets them enough points to cover the defense, and maybe that's going to come to a point with New England more so than Aaron Rodgers, because, man, he has a horde of weapons. I mean, every time you see him, man, his receivers can miss the ball and still come back. And the thing about Rodgers I noticed today, that when the main receiver is covered, not only does he know where the other guy is, but the other guy is so wide open. He had 3 or 4 third-down passes and touchdowns where he threw 2 touchdowns where the guy was completely wide open. Consensus here, C-Wings, he is the MVP of the NFL.
Thumbs down. There's no one even close. I mean, like you said, Donald Driver, when he made that touchdown pass, he could have sat down in a lawn chair and no one would have ever intercepted that ball. I mean, the coverage there was totally blown. And if you look at Tom Coughlin, he's kind of like a dead man walking. If they don't make it to 10-6, he's going to get fired. It's being reported that North Turner, they're looking to fire him, and possibly the GM is looking to be let go. I think you're going to see Andy Reid fired as well.
Going. I mean, his dream team went to the nightmare. Now, next week, it's an amazing thing here. Tremendous game. There's no good losses. But the Giants right away have a chance to kind of, luckily for them, Dallas lost today. And they play Dallas next week. And we keep saying this every week about the Giants, Sea Wings, but no, they had to win the New Orleans game. They had to win the Philadelphia game. They had to win the game today. They haven't won. They had to win games. They have to win again next week. And if they don't win next week, maybe they just tell Coughlin, you know what? Just don't even come back. I mean, this is an imperative game they win. It's the Dallas Cowboys who lost today, and they lost in overtime to Arizona. I mean, can we say enough about how much the Giants need this game? And what turns around, too, what Larry Hardesty said, as things are going along now, the Christmas Eve game is going to be a game of just wow. I mean, everybody's going to need that Christmas Eve game. The Giants are going to need it. The Jets are going to need it. Can the Giants win? We know they have to win. They know they need to win. Can the Giants beat Dallas next week in Dallas?
If they play like they played tonight against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, I see the Giants winning that game by 3. They showed a lot of heart. They fought to the end. It's just the secondary kept blowing the coverage. It's the secondary, too, that has a problem. I mean, look at the last drive. I mean, he two passes for over 40 yards?
He's in field goal range, and I mean, for all intents and purposes, the game was it was game, set, and match. Speaking about game, set, and match, Tiger Woods, one-stroke win.
But Doc, you got to understand with the Giants, too, that they had Rodgers 3 up and 3 out. And then that stupid penalty gave them.
That was a bad call.
That was a bad call. It wasn't a penalty.
You know what?
You mean when he was sacked?
You bring a point up that always gets me. You know, you've got the new technology. You've got more officials on the field than ever before. Like I can understand.
Mistakes.
I could understand in the old days we had one referee, Mindy Rudolph, Richie Powers. On a basketball court, but you got 3 referees and nobody's. And you're right. And you saw that. And sometimes you wonder, what's happening with that. Again, we're going to move away from football right now. Sea Wings don't go. And everybody, yes, if you called in now, they're here. The posse is gathered here on a late night. I want to get back to boxing real quick. And we're going to go back to last night. There was a big fight. I looked at that. Man, what a long card. What a long card. But I looked while that card was long, but it was just something I've rarely seen. I mean, Gilberto Ortiz, our working on boxing Hispanic announcer, said, for a fight fan, it was a great card. Pay-per-view, you got your money. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fights.
Incredible, Doc.
Yeah. And then you had a 12-round IBF eliminator, NABAONA, which is really a nothing title. That was a 12-rounder. Mike Jones against Sebastian Lujan, a 12-rounder. Delvin Rodriguez against Pollock was a 10-rounder. Then we had Murray against Brandon Rios, which he should be slapped side the head. I mean, that was a 12-rounder. And then we had the title fight. So we're talking about 46 rounds. You had over 30-some rounds before you got to the main event. Want to go back and listen to Delvin Rodriguez, who fought a tremendous fight last night, and then go back look at the scorecards on the fight with Brandon Ruiz and Murray. But real quick, let's talk to
I wasn't sure if everybody knew that the undercard you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. We found out at the press conference, Dusty and I found out that they're going to show the undercard.
Oh, yeah.
On Latino HBO, they're going to show the boxing matches at 9
Latino
o'clock.
Zone,
9 o'clock, I think, on HBO, on the Latino HBO channel.
How many fights are you going to show?
He said it was most of the undercard that they were going to show. Yeah.
Well, most of the undercard stretches from the first 4 rounders to
Dusty, if we're talking about undercard, we're talking 9 fights. We're talking.
Not nine fights. It's the before television. That's what we're
okay,
having.
All right. So then you're talking about the three fights. You're talking about 12 rounds between Jones and Lujan, the Rodriguez against Woolock fight, and the John Murray against Brandon Rios fight. Let's hold on a second. Let's go back and talk to Delvin Rodriguez, who was first scouted and touted as a talent by none other than the First Lady of Boxing, the First Lady of Sports, Lady A. Let's talk to Delvin, and let's come back and look at the scorecards and talk boxing. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. It is a part two wrap-up, late night, early morning, here with the crew, Lady A, Destino Baby Lewis, Mel Cosell, and the first man in football, C-Wings. Delvin Rodriguez, talk to us.
Finally paying off, you know. Now this is my opportunity, and I gotta grab it. Don't let it go.
Boxing. How'd you end up boxing? What started
your career? Oh, man. Well, so, I came from the island, from the Dominican Republic, when I was about 9 years old. Santiago.
Santiago, okay.
Coming from an island, you know, not knowing the country, not knowing the language. I go to school, you know, the first Dominican kid I met, I go to his house the first day, and he's in a boxing gym, you know. What is this? You know, so I walked there about 6 months from now. The gym was really close to the house. I walked there. As soon as I stepped into the gym, it was like a playground. As soon as I can't go into a playground, you know. So, and I love the competition, you know. I see my friend, the guy that I met, that took me to the gym, skinny, short kid, and he's beating the crap. And I'm like, yo, how is that possible? You know what I'm saying? I say, how is that possible? So from there on, I say, now, this I got to do something about it. So I continue. I like the competition. You know, I went all over Connecticut. I got to a point where I didn't have nobody to fight Connecticut no more. So I had to come to New York and, you know, I won many tournaments. So that's pretty much the way I started, you know. It was a way to introduce me to the country, you know, to the environment, to the language.
Idols, heroes.
Coming up from boxing, you know, I used to admire Oscar De La Hoya, you know, the way he used to box. To me, it looked like he was floating in that ring, you know, the way he boxed and stuff. There's a lot of great fighters out there, but as a kid, boxing, I looked up to him. You know.
Have you met him?
I never met him.
Really?
Never met him.
Well,
I met so many boxers up there.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I know. This fight, you feel, it's got to be a knockout or just a clean, one-sided?
Yeah, definitely.
How's your son?
He's great, man.
Yeah.
And he won the fight. Dusty, your thoughts on him? I mean, you got a chance to talk to him quick. We didn't see the first fight, but what was the difference in this fight that led him to victory?
Well, this is what Lady A was with me when I asked him what I saw. And Lady A, well, we sat together all night and we went to the post fight. But
don't be jealous, Doc.
I was about ready to tell him this is his last show. He overstepped his bounds.
When I saw the first show with ESPN Friday Night Fights, it was a fight of attrition. It was a fight that he could have won easily, and he could have knocked that Dacinian, my God, I just saw him fight Woolock out at any time, but it seemed that they wanted to keep Woolock from being stopped. I mean, the powers that be, without mentioning it. Because Delvin was outboxing him, and he had him swollen. I mean, let me tell you, he looked like a man from Mars, all swollen. Both his eyes, he couldn't even see. In fact, he had worse blindness from the swelling than Margarito had last night. And that's how bad it was, and they wouldn't stop it. And Delvin kept battering him. But what happened in the first fight, Delvin leaned up against the ropes. He did a corto. I'm making comparison. He leaned up against the ropes, and this guy, Woolock, is the raging bull. He comes at you, and he pounds you. So it made it look like it was even, or he had the better advantage or rounds over Delvin. So but I felt that Delvin still won, but they called it a draw, which created this other situation. Now, to get back to last night, I ran around the horn. Delvin, and he explained, and I told Lady, I said, wait a minute, he's bending to Woolock's height. A tall guy never does that. But he explained to us in the post-fight conference, when I asked him, he says that was a strategy in camp to bend down to his height, you know, and uppercut him, which he did, and that's how he battered him. And the Warlock was out of the. I mean, he tried because he's a warrior, but he was out of the picture. I mean, and that's what allowed Delvin to win a well-deserved decision. And
you know, I'm
wondering
too, Dusty, because Warlock came in there ranked really high. I'm looking for those studies. Looking at the punch stats, I go to and fro. Warlock threw 742 total punches. Rodriguez 734. He connected on 167. Rodriguez on 257. His percentage was 23%. Rodriguez 35%. Jabs thrown 350 by Warlock, 235 by our man Rodriguez. Rodriguez landed 20. And even though Warlock almost threw 100 and something more, he only landed 37. Percentage was 11% landed to 9% for Rodriguez. Power punches, that's 392 for Warlock, almost 500 for our boy Rodriguez, 499. Power punches, 130. Percentage, 33 for Warlock, 237, 47% for Rodriguez. And
Doc,
now going to...
Doc.
Warlock is a windmill, and like Paul Williams used to do, he kept busy. Windmill, whether he hit you or not, his arms were always going, so it looked impressive. But the connect percentage, or the powerful punches, to me, in my view, were Rodriguez, because it reflected on Warlock's face. His face was battered.
Also, Doc, what I was going to add to it, Dusty was saying, I mean, we both looked at each other like, why is he bending down? But it seemed like Dusty and I, one of the things we caught watching the fight was that he was trying to do that tactically in order to kind of break down Warlock on the inside and try to get on the inside, because
that's
it seemed like through the latter half of the rounds when he would kind of deter from using that strategy. But what happened was on the outside you saw Pavel being a little bit being a little bit more aggressive. So basically it was more advantageous for Rodriguez to keep the fight inside and not fight him outside, because it seemed like he was more of an outside fighter, so he was gaining more of an advantage on the outside. So I think that was all part of the strategy. I thought it was kind of weird because I kept telling Dustin, why does he keep bending down? As a tall fighter, you can use your reach more and kind of keep him outside. But then once you started seeing what would happen when he would do that, then you could kind of put two and two together and see, you know what, it seems like he just wants to fight him on the inside.
That's amazing, I think it shows a good strategy in his corner. People seeing something, making an adjustment, not just being clones are doing the same old thing regardless.
Over.
And that's stuff that you kept talking about and Rob Scott kept talking about with Margarito, was that, you know, he said he has the height, has the reach, but he's doing nothing to cut the ring off against Cotto. He's doing nothing that, what we talked about Paul Williams, he's this tall, lengthy guy with this long reach, and he does nothing in the fight to take advantage of it. I mean, you just said Rodriguez had a plan, you saw the plan, understood the plan, and it worked. Paul Williams has had two fights. He got knocked out.
Right.
The other fight, a lot of people didn't think he won. Gang, hold on. We got to take a break. Come back. This is the halfway
These
point.
These guys. Oh,
depth
I'm sorry.
On the Sheffield Sunday Night Special. The gang is here. C-Wings, he has a little beat. He's a long day down in Washington for us earlier. The Jets won a big, big game, especially in lieu of the fact that Cincinnati lost. And the Giants lost another big, big, big game, must game. Mel Cosell will give his opinion on his main man, the offensive genius coordinator. Maybe he did some things right, or maybe the Jets won in spite of him. Don't nobody move. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blink Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports in Depth is the show. It's Sports in Depth late night, early morning, the finale and the beginning.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Doc.
Doc.
Second half.
Hold on, gang. Back up.
We're back here with the second half of our special Sunday night special and early morning thing. I want to bring Winnie for a second. Real quickly, you and Lady A.
Doc.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more thing in regards to in a press conference. I could just take a second. While I was sitting in the press conference areas with Dusty, toward the end of Cotto's speech,
But what did Dusty say? What did Cotto say?
Wait. This is toward the end. They had wrapped everything up. Dusty gets up. He looks to the left, and we see Nazim Richardson standing there. Gets up. Well, let me just finish. He gets up, and he walks over to Nazim Richardson. I'm saying to myself, what the hell is Nazim Richardson doing here? And he's standing here in Miguel Cotto apparel, like a ring corner, like the wall, all the gear. So, you know, kind of took me for a loop for a second. Today I read the paper, and I find out that he was actually hired by the Miguel Cotto camp, right? To actually stand and be in the corner as a second guy in the corner as a psych strategy. They used it to psych out Margarito because they were going to use him, unfortunately, it didn't work. The psych strategy did not work because he was not given a license in New York. However, they were going to use him to monitor the wrapping of Margarito's hands again.
Okay, now, who wasn't given a license? Nassim?
Well, New York, he didn't have a license in New York State, but the New York State Athletic Commission. I guess it's not active, or maybe it might have expired or something.
Really?
So he couldn't be in the corner as a second. However, they were going to use it as a strategy to psych out Margarito and be like, yeah, okay, try something now. Here's Nazim Richardson.
Stop. See, you know, day or night, weekday, weekend, you cannot touch my crew. I try to tell you this, world. I know you're listening. That's why she's Lady. She ain't Lady B. She ain't Lady C. She's Lady A. Did you hear what she just said? Now, Dusty told us yesterday that Evander Holyfield wanted to pull out of the fight with him. They told Evander, you can't do it. C-Wings broke that big thing for us about none other than our president finally getting Bin Laden. It was Mel Smith, Mel Cosell, who told us who was the first Hispanic champion, the first African-American champion. Harold Wesson has, you can't, and you're talking about, Doc is the store that serves a drink. It's a hell of a drink I'm stirring, gang. I'm going to tell you that you can't beat my, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Well, Doc, you're the straw, with all due respect, like you said, Doc is the straw, and I guess you could consider us the potent ingredients.
The ingredient is, like I remember when I asked Joe Frazier where he get the name smoking from, he said it was funny. Joe said, you know, if Yank Durham didn't like you, it didn't matter who else liked you. He said, but when he fought with Yank told him, wanted you to go out there and wanted to see them gloves smoking. Rooney, I'm coming at you on this one. Devlin Rodriguez won his fight, and then Brandon Rios, the lightweight champion, talk to Yang Yang, impressive about fighting in the garden. And
I'm glad you mentioned that, Doc. Please, go right ahead. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Doc.
I got to do something so y'all can keep me in the show. And it was the consensus by the crew that he was behind in his fight against Murray. But looking at the scorecards, going into the round, the 11th round, he was up 97-92, 98-91, 96-93. Now, the thing here, Rooney, that is appalling. That is appalling. I mean, you know, you are a world-class boxer. You are a world champion. You are a Hispanic on probably, it's the greatest Hispanic card in the New Garden, and you come in.
The world's most famous arena, like you said, Doc. New York City, Rooney, the big time, Broadway.
I mean, how appalling is this, Rooney? The man didn't make the weight. Talk to me, Rooney.
Doc, as a professional athlete,
a total disgrace, Doc.
It shows a lack of discipline. It shows. Now, don't get me wrong. I obviously know when fighters grow out of their weight class and have to move up. That is one thing. But when you are a supposed world champion with everything that's on stage, the world's most famous, I mean, everything that's at stake, excuse me, the world's most famous arena, defense of your title, Broadway, okay? And you lose your title on the scales. Hey, it's one thing if you go in there and get knocked out, even if it's in the first round. Okay, you did that in combat and these things happen when you're a professional fighter. That's, you know, par for the game. You win some, you lose some, whatever. But to lose your title on the scales before you ever walk that aisle and step into that ring, to me, Doc, is unforgivable. It's unforgivable to lose the title in that fashion, in that way.
And it's a knockdown.
Hold on, ladies first. Lady A?
Huh?
Also, I think there was like Dusty and I had like maybe three or four rounds. When you look at the fight card, there were some rounds that when you look at three or four that the judges kind of gave to Murray. But you also have to factor in there that there was a point taken away for a low blow. So to go into like the 10th round, and I mean to me, if you're the champion, you should be dominating a guy like this. You know. Not to take anything away from Brandon Rios, because the guy looked like he was pretty much a bloody mess by the end of the fight. But here's the guy that kept coming at him. He kept coming at him. And this is another thing that kind of solidified some of the things we talk about. The European fighters, we've been talking on the show for a long time about, you know, most people in boxing, not doing their homework about European fighters, Doc. You know, and
I got one judge gave Brandon 1, 2, 3, 4. He gave him six rounds in a row. He gave six rounds in a row, and he gave him six.
Well,
eight
don't forget he took that 1 point in the seventh. Yeah, plus that 1 point he took out in the seventh.
Yeah, he gave him eight of the ten. Other judge, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He gave him seven. Another judge gave him 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, there were some rounds that you could have kind of went like, okay, well, it could have. That's why Dusty and I were looking at each other like, Dave, you know, it could have went either way, those rounds, you know?
Murray lost the point in the seventh round.
In the seventh, right.
So if you don't lose the point, it's 98-92, 97-93.
Right.
More importantly, here's where you and Dusty are seeing the fight. It's 96-94.
Right.
But even more important than that, how do you lose the title, Doc? Like I said, we're irregardless of the win of the loss, okay? All right, I know that's the bottom line. But how, again, do you lose your championship on the scale?
Because it's happened before, Mel. I mean, throughout history, you have the guys who were 35-pounders and all of a sudden it's getting hard as they get older to make that weight. How many guys, when they used to have... Let me explain to you. You are a former champion. They can't drag those weights. Let me explain to you. There's no excuse for that.
Wait, hold on a second, Dusty. Let me explain
and give you the full picture here, okay? When the man begins to, even in training camp and dieting and all that, begins to have trouble making the weight, he makes the weight, and remember we used to have weigh-ins at the day of the fight. You know, the man is weak, and look, remember Ike Williams and all of those guys from beyond the time Well, they're having trouble making weight. Now, hold a second, Doc.
No, hold on.
Let me explain to you.
Dusty, let me be. What you telling me, Dusty?
Hold a second, man.
No, Dusty. What you telling me?
No, he can't stop an explanation of something because it leaves
people. He needed the one more day? He needed one more day?
It's not that he needed one more day. What I'm trying to give you the picture here is that you're in training camp, and you know you're beginning to have trouble. This is what happened to Miguel Cotto. Miguel Cotto in three or four fights of his last championship fights at 140 was having trouble. This is why Balinaji almost dumped him. Torres from Colombia dumped him. Chop Chop Corley dumped him because he was having trouble making weight, and he had to make the adjustment to go up to 140 pounds. But he was, to 47. And when he got to 47, he says, now I don't have to worry about the weight. My problem was that at the later rounds, I was getting tired. Now, with Bam Bam Rios, it was pure carelessness. They're in a freaking training camp, and they know. He said he was having trouble of making weight in the previous fights. So then that tells you, gives you a message to begin dieting and begin eating the proper foods and not to take things for granted.
So who's for
Additionally, Doc, just to add to what Dusty's saying.
Did the same thing.
Yeah.
Let me finish. Jose Luis Castillo did the same thing.
With Diego
Corrales did the same thing.
Right, with Diego Corrales, right.
Yeah, they did the same thing. They lost the titles on the scale.
Who's fault is that, Dusty?
Theirs. I'm not saying it's anybody else's fault.
But
theirs.
Doc, Dusty is 100% right because it's not as easy. But just one more thing, additionally. Just to add to what he was saying, you know, he was given the opportunity, I think they said two or three more times to make the
exactly.
weight. At one point, he came back even heavier.
Heavier, and then I think he lost one more pound.
Right.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And that was it. So it's the laissez-faire. I don't give two craps. I didn't make it, so now what happens? He doesn't lose anything because, his title is taken away from him. He still fights a championship fight. He pays Murray a bonus fine or what, $10,000?
Hold on, listen. You mean for not making the weight, he has to pay a fine?
He paid a fine. Yes,
yes.
It's happened all the time.
Yes.
Well, he didn't come in
yes.
as a contracted weight, Doc.
Yeah.
Of course he has to pay. He didn't come in as a contracted
weight. I want the fans to, hear it from you. I understand, you know, because
well,
I remember Mayweather paid a certain amount of money.
For Marquez. That's correct.
Right.
Jose Luis Castillo for not making our way either.
Rainbow Souls, she has sports after the show. Lady A, Mel Cosell, the Channel Baby Lewis are telling you, if you don't make the weight, there's a fine to be. Okay, you know what? Let's move
Marquez
on.
Marquez made $600,000, man.
How much?
Oh, for the fine that Mayweather paid, plus his purse. Can you imagine that? If he had been 10 pounds overweight, it would have been $3 million.
Well, look, Margarito made 2.5 on the fight yesterday, and then you got Cotto made over $5 million. So,
well,
I mean, you know.
Here's the story. I hear that Cotto is going to branch out on his own. Now, I'm hearing stories of.
He already has it.
Maybe Cotto and Chavez Jr. I'm hearing stories.
Breaking news, guys. Jose Reyes just signed for $105 million with the Marlins.
Yep.
I'm going to break that. You know, with the Marlins, it's 105 for 6 years.
Yep.
Yes.
105 for 6 years.
And they're still waiting to get, and they're pursuing Albert Pujols right now.
What's that?
Albert Pujols is getting signed right now.
I want to know what excuse the New York baseball Mets are going to give for
the story is that they lost $70 million this year, and it was
nonsense.
You know what? They always have a million reasons why you can't pay a black or Hispanic player. I mean, it's just amazing.
They cheated him. Giving David Wright 55 mil.
Oh, man, Dusty, come on. We've got to quit agreeing, Dusty. I told you that. We've got to stop agreeing here. I'll never forget it, Dusty. They signed him the day before, and the next day they signed Wright for twice about the money.
$55 mil, and Jose Reyes got about 26 and change.
Right.
And Jose Reyes was the franchise, not David Wright.
Hey,
and that's
listen,
under Omar.
Do you know how many Dominicans in my neighborhood go to see Jose Reyes? Do you guys know?
Yeah, they're not going now. They're going to Florida.
You have no idea what he did. I'm not saying it as a joke. You guys know where
no,
I live.
No, it's true.
Okay, and you have no idea what he did for revenue in this neighborhood alone where I live, which is
exactly
right around Citi Field. You have no idea what he did for revenue. I mean, I was seeing restaurants on Norman Boulevard I never even seen before.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I mean, this is what he did for the franchise.
Led the league in batting, led the league in triples, the youngest player ever to hit home runs on both sides of the plate in Major League history. He's on his way to Florida, and this could now. A lot of people think that Albert Pujols wants to be a one-team guy.
Yes.
A lot of people think he wants to
stay.
Right
now, you wave him that money, you throw that Miami, that Florida Sun in there.
You know, it's an amazing thing. Leroy Neiman, the great Leroy, the greatest sports artist, greatest artist of our generation, and Lynn, lovely Lynn, I called him her his guardian angel. And you know, she said something, and when you read about Willie Mays picked up years ago about how much money that is being generated and how much the players are not getting. And Willie used to always tell guys, hey, man, you know, watch yourself with these signing shows. Make sure you get paid. Watch yourself with these appearances.
Make sure you get paid.
Somebody's making money. Make sure you – and Lynn said, you know, Willie was ahead of his time. Well, no, as a player. But, you know, somebody's making money. Make sure you get – and we've talked about this. It's just amazing. Ali got Don King into the boxing game because he said the black and Hispanic fighters were the gladiators, but they want – Larry Holmes talked about it yesterday, him and Cooney, about, you know, promoters who are making money off guys. And, you know, guys – you look at Aaron. I mean, Lou DiBella said, you know, Lou pays his fighters, his minority fighters the best. And if you notice, Aaron has his flock is predominantly Hispanic fighters. I mean, I think the last black fighter he had was Mayweather. Okay, but he has this horde of Hispanic fighters, and you know we know he's paying them little or nothing. Thus, he has told us how he works.
King,
the situation.
King had Trinidad, didn't King? It was one of his cash cows.
Yeah,
Trinidad and Camacho. Trinidad and Camacho was cash cows.
But Don King paid him, and Trinidad, you know, Don made Trinidad. I remember the press conference. And, I mean, Trinidad gave Don $1 million of a gift. His birthday gift. Mm-hmm. Trinidad was happy.
$400,000+.
It came to half a million.
King owed him the money, and because of his 80th birthday, I said, forget it. You've been good to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal.
Okay. Once again, you heard it here. You heard it first, and you had it for Senor Butincha.
Botinche.
Hey, you know what I mean? And listen, understand, when Dutchie tell you this, he's got it straight from the number runner. He's got it straight from the guy that runs the taxi. He's got the guy down at the Bodega. He's got El Suado.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got Camila. He's got it straight.
Man.
He's got Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Ecuadorians. He got them all. And the thing about Trinidad, it was that Trinidad was very happy about just being saying low-key. And, you know, in Puerto Rico, and Don pushed him, made him a great superstar. And your both said last night there was nothing like the energy of the Hispanic crowd when Tito Trinidad was fighting. It was just incredible.
But Bob Arum said, I don't know if you guys caught this, Arum said at the conference that, hey, Miguel Cotto has sold the Garden out six times.
Right, six times.
Six times.
Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't care if Miguel Cotto sold the Garden out 60 times. You can't utter Miguel Cotto in the same breath with Ray Robinson, Joe Lewis.
Oh, of course not. No one's making a crazy statement like that.
Aaron has this ability to project his people as these elite people. Mayweather said it. When I was with him, I was got his greatest thing since sliced bread. And I mean, so he sold it out six times. And I'm going to say this again. And, you know, Miguel Cotto owes his popularity in New York City to the New York City media. The black and Hispanic media, when he first came here, nobody knew who Miguel Cotto. I remember Ralph Paliagua telling me, Doc, we're going to need your help on this one. And I think it's appalling that when he comes here, he's very short with the media, especially with Hispanic media. He doesn't have time. And when he first came here, you couldn't get enough of the guy. And now, like they say, fame and money doesn't change you, it exposes you. I think it's I don't know, maybe the people around him, but I think it's appalling. That other day, he came there, you had a press conference with the two main event guys. So only got two guys there. And he didn't stay around the way Margarito did. I've said this. I understand.
He didn't do it to snub the press, Doc. I think you're misconstruing that.
But you know what? Listen.
He didn't do it to snub the press. He was tired of the nonsense.
You and I can say all we want, remember? Remember, our name is not on the marquee here. It's the Doc Stanley Show. So remember.
Lady,
but
you catch it on.
Let me say
I'm going to say something. I don't want to say, that's bull crap. If Muhammad Ali can do it, everybody
you don't
else
force
can.
A person to do the other person's.
No,
I saw
Dusty,
the
Dusty,
justice.
No, it's what
I saw
you
the justice
do,
and Miguel
it's what
leaving,
you do with your position. With great power comes great responsibility. Miguel Cotto can't be uttered in that breath. And Miguel Cotto, Dusty, there's nothing you can say can validate, especially when you had a press conference, you had just the two main event fighters. And you know what? You're being kind because you had a horde of Hispanic press there. That you were being kind, and maybe you're being blind.
I'm going to tell you something, though. Dusty and I stayed for that post-press conference, and all you had, right, Dusty? A majority of the people that were there were the Latin press. And I know that Bob Arum tried to say, the hour's late, or, whatever the situation is.
But the reality is,
Dusty, you and I stood there waiting for the microphone to come back. There's no reason why they couldn't have extended that. And even ESPN Deportes was there late.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What's his name? Juan Manuel Marquez is standing right behind us, bro.
They were doing
a live feed right from there.
And here's that great line. Today is worth two tomorrows. And the Bible says only a fool can guarantee tomorrow. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network, the show. Mel Cosell, where does Cotto go from here?
I'm going to mention Cotto in a second, Doc, but I wanted to say that's a great Puerto Rican champion, the first Puerto Rican Worldwide Wrestling Federation champion, Pedro Morales.
Oh, yeah, Rooney, we got 90 seconds.
Sold the garden out at least 10 times. I just wanted to put that on record.
So
I don't know where Cotto goes from here, Doc. I really don't. I'm sure they'll come up with something. Obviously, after this big win, he's still very marketable and what have you. I don't know where he goes from here.
Gang, hold on a minute. We'll probably do a little after dark chatter. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network Show. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network Show. Yes. Part two, with Sunday's final. Larry Hart, we'll close it out and do a little chatter for you. Live your life today. Life goes persistent, the most urgent question. What are you doing for the service to others? Is to make you pay for your space on earth. Such is God. Larry, please.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Posse is riding away. And, gang, it's always a pleasure. We'll get back here. I'm looking to come live from Brazil next week. We'll do Sports in Depth with the mic on, lights off, in about 20 seconds. Don't anybody move. And we'll try it real quickly because we got to do it quick. Larry, bring it back for a minute.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Gang, real quickly, we got to wrap it up. I need a quick 1 minute or so thought. Dusty, where does Miguel Cotto go from here?
Well, like he said, and I believe he said it that he will take a 2-week vacation and then plan strategy. There was a mention of Julio Cesar Chavez. I tried to get some. I couldn't get to answer the question or to have, but nobody mentioned it either about a trilogy with Margarito. But he did say he did hint. He did hint about the fact. Well, I got this, like they say in Spanish, espina. I got this, the thorn off my back, and whether he's hurt or not, that's his life. I have my life with my family. So that means there may not be a third. Now, you mentioned something key, Doc, that I'm going to use now is the fact that Miguel Cotto now is freeing his slavery chains from Bob Arum because he has his promotion, Puerto Rico promotion, with a lot of fighters under his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So he may be branching out, doing like an Oscar De La Hoya and a Floyd Mayweather. And of course, pretty soon you're going to see, well, this ungrateful dude, I made him rich, Bob Arum, and he left on his own, you know. But he's rich enough now to say, hey, it's time. But he did indicate something. This is why the confusion of statements. He said, well, I want to continue fighting at least one or two, no more than 3 more years. And he's only 30, 31. And how he looked Saturday, again, to digress a bit, looked Saturday, he looked smarter, he looked sharper, he looked like he was doing what he was supposed to do, and he, like I said, this afternoon, he looked like a Sam Langford bobbing and weaving out of harm's way, and he wasn't even marked. So that means that I would love to see him fight Canelo Alvarez.
I got to piggyback on that now, Doc. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have to piggyback. I mean, I look at it like this. At 147, okay, if he goes down, he's got Pacquiao, Ortiz, Berto, and maybe even Mike Jones from the last fight that we just saw. Okay?
Oh, forget Mike
Hold on. At 154, okay, he's got Angulo, Alvarez, and maybe Wallach, right? And according to the standings, okay? Then if he goes up to 160, he's got Martinez, okay, and Julio Cesar Chavez. All right, so if you look at the standings, he's got a few options of guys that he could fight. And can he possibly fight Margarito again? I don't know. Maybe that's something he may want
to
do.
But Lady A, understand one thing. He's not going to go back to 47. That's the number
I'm just throwing out options out there.
Lady A,
Here we go,
because we got to leave. Rooney, the thought here, I'm shooting it at you. You heard Lady A. You heard Dusty. You know,
rumor, Doc, that he might possibly that they were talking about some type of M. Floyd Mayweather thing.
Rooney, wait until I ask you the question. Don't be pulling out of my brain. Wait until I ask you the question, okay? Now go ahead. You already pulled out of my brain. Go ahead, Rooney.
No, I had heard the rumor that it would be an intriguing fight for the fans, and obviously. I don't think him and Julio Cesar Chavez, I don't think that's going to capture the imagination of the fans. He and Floyd would capture the imagination of the fans.
Alvarez.
Right.
Is the next one.
Right. And can I piggyback something?
Mm-hmm.
He said something in today's Vocero or Spanish paper that I want to clean up all the guys who beat me. So he left the door open to go back to Pacquiao.
Here's a big question. We got to go. If he leaves Bob Arum, I don't think Arum will let him come back to Pacquiao. Now, I need a yes or no here because we got to go. If he fights Mayweather, Lady A, who wins that fight?
I can't give you an answer.
Wow, you sound like Dusty now. Rooney, he fights Mayweather. Who wins that fight?
I give Mayweather a slight edge only because of his blazing hand speed and ring generalship. Be a good fight, though, Doc.
Rooney, Dusty, who wins it? And then I got to close out and you can tell everybody good night. Who wins that fight?
I give it to Cotto based on what I saw yesterday. It's going to be nip and tuck, but I give it to Cotto.
Okay.
Okay, let me tell you what. I'm going to close out with Larry. After Larry, I want you to tell everybody good night. You and Lady A, I love you, but you're crazy. He ain't beating Mayweather. Larry Hardesty.
We'll see, my friend.
don't be calling me friend now.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Dusty, tell everybody good night. Oh, hey, everybody, real quick before we go, say happy birthday to Rooney. Mel's
happy birthday, Rooney.
Feliz
happy
birthday, baby.
You.
You're
thank
16
you.
Again. Okay.
Thank you. I'm not going to mention my age. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And everybody, good night, and enjoy yourself. And we lucked out today. We had a double trouble, so that's cool.
And Dusty, happy birthday to him in Spanish.
Feliz cumpleaños, Rooney. Tú cumpliste 110 años.
Very nice, Dusty.
Happy birthday to Lucky. Dusty, thank you. Hear that? That's
yes.
Your horse. Go catch your horse. Just, your horse is
don't
right away, Dusty.
Horse.
Go get him.
That's my little mule.
Hey, is that the one you take to the Grammys?
That's right. That's the one I take to the Grammys. I take a horse to the Oscars.
Love you. Talk to you during the week.
Okay, God bless everybody. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.